Hey, this is Jeff. We'll get to the show in a second. If you want to support the show or find back episodes of the show or find our other podcasts or find articles or quotes on early learning, all that kind of stuff is over at playvolutionhq.com. We're trying to curate the early learning world. Check it out. Here's the show. Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio, Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
Hey, we got to discuss something.
Tell me.
Yeah. A couple nights ago, we came to pick you up in Sioux Falls after your gig, and that's in the Washington Pavilion. Beautiful, beautiful theater. And you're just done, and you're starting to clean up. And look, I'm not much help when it comes to cleanup, period. And I know that Lisa fucking Murphy is very particular about the cleanup process. So,
the cleanup process of my workshop.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Exactly. Let's clarify that.
Yeah.
For our listeners.
And so I was trying to be a good boy, and I just sat down in a seat in the theater, and when I caught your eye, I yelled something like, "Hey, where we're going to dinner? Or are you going to need food?" or something like that. And then a little bit later, I'm having a little chat with a couple of the event ladies, the organizers, and they're like, "Hey, you came in and we thought you were a homeless guy
harassing our speaker,
harassing the talent." And I'm like, "Well, I kind of look like a homeless guy. That's kind of the vibe I go for. So thank you very much." So I like that because I think the homeless guy look that I bring out into the world, you can get into any place with it because nobody messes with it. So it's just kind of my vibe. So that was kind of a fun experience being called homeless guy at the Washington Pavilion. So I guess that's a gig I'll never do after they listen to this. No, it was funny and they were great. So topic for today, we kind of got into this in a previous episode. We kind of mentioned this idea.
Well, I actually thought you were segueing into the topic with what you were observing when you walked into the theater.
Oh, I wish I would have, because that would have been a great idea.
I thought you were going with
this. Yeah, I totally didn't think of that. So you make that segue.
Oh, well, the segue. So he's saying he came into the theater, he sees me cleaning up, and the topic that we had slated for right now is what story does the post-play mess tell? So what's that narrative? If you were walking in as the kids were kind of just wrapping that up, or let's say the kids decided they were done, but they weren't mandated to put everything back on the shelf, and you walked through that, what might that story be? And so that's what I thought you were thinking, was like you walk in, you know, 700 people have been playing with all this goo for 6 hours. What did you see? You know, did you see chaos? Did you see a mess? Did you...
I wish I would have went there, but we're just new at this podcasting thing. This is just only episode 476.
All right, so
I guess I have to practice a little bit more when I get there. So yeah, that's what we're gonna dig into is what. Maybe a little bit of forensics, a little bit of archaeology.
What did you say? The autopsy of play.
Yeah. What does the post play mess tell you about what's going on in the environment? And we hadn't really talked about this before we turned on the microphone, so maybe this will be incredibly fucking boring, but also maybe we can learn something. So,
well, I think the first thing that I'm thinking of right now, because you said that this was kind of a topic we had started, and
a couple weeks ago, we were recording on the phone, and it was just, I said something in passing, and we touched on it, and then I jotted down a note. So,
well, I think it would depend on whether or not you knew the children in that space.
Yeah.
You know, were you a part of that play session to where you could attach your own interpretation, whether it was accurate or not, but you were there witnessing it happen, which could potentially provide some depth. But if you like switched rooms, you know, now you go to this room, like switch the juries, now you go to this room and you go to that room and come back and now let's do some photo documentation, take some notes. I think that might be kind of interesting.
I mean, just think about a toddler room. You learn very quickly looking at the mess in a toddler room, that that they're going through that stage where they like to dump shit out. When you have just all the totes are jumped out.
All that large motor skill development being done.
Yeah, and so when you start picking apart the messes they made, you can kind of see where they are developmentally, maybe. And I think that can be useful in setting up for the next day, in deciding what materials are going to be out in the coming days, those kinds of things.
It might also assist in the provider or the teacher letting things out, stay out a little bit longer. Like if this truly was like an exercise at a staff training, like, hey, so don't clean anything up this afternoon. We're going to take the staff on a tour of the program, and we're going to just kind of brainstorm. What do you see? What are you observing? Is there a story that's being relayed to you? And I don't know. I actually think that might be a really awesome exercise.
Yeah.
Well, even you break it down, you're going to see where they played. The places where their stuff are probably, it's that patina, that residue of play. And so you're going to see which parts of the space were actively engaged in, which parts were ignored. That kind of gives you some insight into their interests.
I think it would also be interesting and perhaps telling if during this hypothetical exercise, if you were able to keep some of your maybe assumptions or judgments in check. You know, like, I'm being very stereotypical, but follow my train of thought. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say the blocks and the cars were like some super huge construction. You can tell, you know, it was like time stopped, the kids moved away, and you're seeing the story there, and perhaps somebody's like, oh, the boys looked like they were having a really awesome time. And then the teacher in that space was like, pause. You know, there was actually 6 or 7 girls in there, you know, or a mixed age in there. That's what I'm saying. I realize I'm being stereotypical and very general in that, but I think that would help in a very non-threatening way for some of us to come to grips with the fact that sometimes we might make assumptions or age assumptions.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't know this was a toddler room, but there was a very like detailed, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Sophisticated, something very detailed and sophisticated, maybe perhaps constructed, you know, and I'm like, oh, wow, God, there must be 4-year-olds in this room. And then you find out there's 2-year-olds. I don't know. What a great idea.
I'd love to be part of that.
This would be an awesome staff training if you're listening.
Somebody give this a try. And I mean, think about when it comes to clean up your own selves. When you got people coming to the house, do you clean up a little bit more or a little bit less? And what do you put away and that kind of stuff?
Depends on who they are.
Because you don't want them to learn about what's going on. I just thought about this, and I'm going to tell a story from another podcast that relates to this.
You mean somebody else's podcast?
Yeah, somebody else's podcast. So I listened to Adam Carolla's podcast that he recently, over Christmas, he took his family and some friends. They went to Hawaii, and he had one of his staff guys.
When do we get to go to Hawaii?
Yeah, well, when we have...
3 billion listeners.
Yeah, when we have over 1 million downloads a week, we can get to there.
Okay.
And so he's got one of his guys that works for him watching the house and taking care of the dog and stuff and staying at his place while they're gone. And he's driving home from the airport, he's thinking, what's the first thing I'm going to notice? How am I going to know? Because he'd like to go home and not think anybody been there.
Right.
But
he knows
there's going to be something. So first thing he sees when he walks in the kitchen is an empty pizza box on the kitchen counter.
Okay.
And he's like, the garbage, right, and whatever. And he walks into his bedroom, and on his like bureau dresser thing, there's a clump of towels, and he picks it up to shake it out, and they're kind of moist towels. He's like, what's going on here? And a bra falls out. And so right away, he knows that this 20-some-year-old guy that works for him has been boning in the boss's bed. And so this kind of forensics of the mess can tell you stories. I mean, this is how people find out that their Sweetie Pie is cheating and those kinds of things. They find a button or the cuff link or whatever it is, the lipstick on the collar.
So I'm interrupting because I hadn't thought about this. We were cleaning one time, one of those deep cleans, you know, in the center, and somebody had started stashing favorite toys, you know, like behind the the shelf that rolled with all the casters and stuff. Yeah. So like all this stuff had kind of gone missing. And we found it like this little like rat hole, and then on a more of a or daily regular cleaning, we found one of the kids was hiding the scissors in their backpack all the time. I tell that story sometimes, and what I love about that story is that it was Rommel was learning that he could trust that the scissors would always be available, but until then he needed to know where they were going to be. But the thing that makes my heart happy with that story was that the kids, like one of the kids would be like, Rommel, go get your backpack. I need a pair of scissors. You know, everybody knew where they were and nobody needed it to be any different. But once he trusted, right, that they were going to be there. But that's narrative.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of the scissors are right here. What does that tell me? What information is this giving me?
Absolutely. We get so wrapped up in the work of cleanup sometimes that just pausing to observe what has happened here is probably a useful thing. I joked before we started that maybe I needed to put together a post-play autopsy form, observation form, because I don't
know if that's really a joke.
Well,
I think that would be beneficial.
I don't know what that would look like yet, but there is a story going on in the residual clutter after we're engaged.
Well, would it help with when you do need to clean up, or if you need to clean up with cleanup and how to organize your room again by seeing how the play is distributed during the day?
Right. So like nobody ever is in dress up anymore. Mm-hmm. Huh? Maybe I can steal that real estate and make Block Center bigger because that's where everybody seems to be.
Or with the toddlers who like to haul and dump. Why does everything need to be reorganized into the block basket or the people basket?
Right.
Why don't you just, this basket's handy, I'll fill it, and then I'll take the next basket and fill it.
The goal right now is dumping and filling not sorting or anything.
Yeah.
And just noting where you find the lost socks and that kind of stuff.
It really is like playing archaeologist.
Yeah, well, in a couple episodes, we've got our buddy Tiffany coming on to talk with us about the scientific process, the scientific method in our practice. And this is a little bit of that. It's gathering information. And imagine keep tracking, just having a little map, like a bird's eye view map of your program, and tracking every place you found a lost piece of children's clothing, whether it's a jacket or a sock or whatever, and then noting the time and day, and then looking back at that information over time. Do you have one place the kids are stripping stuff off? Is it happening on a particular day? Those kinds of things can.
That one
those
kid
patterns.
Who decides I'm done with my clothing and this is where I left it.
I always have been a pattern watcher, noticer, observer, documenter, willing to write stuff down, and seeing if there is a trend. You know, sometimes there's not.
Yeah.
But sometimes. I mean, I've shared that story 1,000 times about that girl that started acting out at her home. I was the morning nanny. And every other Wednesday morning, she would just turn, like she did a 180. She was locking herself in the bathroom. I had to learn how to pick a lock to get her out of her room one day. Huh. And then come to find out, every other weekend was the weekend that she spent with her dad who had just remarried, like had left a week, had left and then remarried within the week. And she did not want to go there. And this was her only way as a 6-7-year-old to know that. And that was when watching for that pattern really, really assisted, that she wasn't being defiant, but there was definitely a method to that madness. And it was information that was very valuable for us. I was also thinking some things that might not be as dramatic or as maybe emotionally or significant, but like, are we always out of blue paint?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, so then I'm going to stack the deck in my favor and make sure we always, because clearly somebody is really needing blue paint. The pink paper always gone?
So when reorder time comes, this
is
what we need extra.
Let's use this information. Mm-hmm. These kids need extra blue paint and extra pink paper, not just a random reorder of everything.
Yeah.
So in our constant effort to make sure that this space is relevant, real, and meaningful to these children right now, I think that kind of information is very valuable.
Yeah. And along those lines, keeping maybe... It doesn't need to be a daily activity though, but noting what's going in the garbage, what's getting thrown away, what's getting put in the recycling, that kind of stuff.
You mean like lunch? Like it's like food?
I'm talking about just around the classroom, like art projects and everything. Gives you an idea of what kind of paper they're using and what shapes they're cutting out. Just those kinds of... They're just maybe a little bit of information there. If they're getting into the teacher's purse and grabbing Tylenol or Ritalin
tampons.
Or whatever.
Tampons. Yeah.
I need to paint with this.
No, it's dynamite, right?
Ooh. Sending up a flare.
So I think although we started with what does the story tell, I think the story that it tells is that as people in a space with children, that it behooves us to notice things.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you're not going to do if your nose is always in your lesson plan book or your nose is always in your phone or your nose is always in what's coming next instead of being right there
in the
moment.
And I mean, archaeology, all that is going back and looking at what happened here. And so that's kind
of what do I think happened here, right?
Yeah, what assumptions can I make? And a jackpot if you're an archaeologist is you find the ancient the colonial times outhouse or something.
Or the trash.
The trash bins and that kind of stuff. And you see, because you get an idea of what people were eating and what they threw away had an impact on, or gives you a view into what they were doing, those kinds of things. So there's something there. And frankly, none of us are working daily with kids, and so I don't have a chance to test this out. But if you do...
Oh, please let us know.
I'm thinking about you, Kristen, and Tiffany, and Amanda, and Emma... Emma, Arkansas Emma, you people, test us out and see if you learned anything and have any thoughts on this to share with us.
Well, and how might it be different for our colleagues who are in forest schools or who are doing outdoor schools? Not always in a forest, remember that. Uh-huh. It can be somewhere else. But having more of an outdoor program.
Yeah, yeah.
This one tree is always climbed on.
Well, then you start seeing... you start seeing patterns of where kids move just in the ground. The one program we visit up in New Brunswick, they actually decided they needed to rotate their play space every couple years because they were having such an impact
on the environment
mm-hmm. because the certain paths get beaten down and everything and the vegetation stops growing. And so they started rotating. And I mean, that's part of this observation. What is the impact of this play having on the space? And they were able to carry that into making that change.
So kind of not related, but maybe it is. And I'm not remembering the book. It's either from Toward a More Reasonable Life or the Mary Rivkin book about the great outdoors, where they talked about a new university campus that had been built, and they didn't put sidewalks on until they let the people walk around, and then that's where they decided that this.
I've had this in my head and haven't written it down yet. Up the street, we talked episodes ago about my dogs saving somebody, helping with surgery.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so at this hospital we walked by, they've recently rerouted a street, and so they put in new landscaping, and they just got the sod in right before it got cold out. And I've been noticing that employees and visitors to the hospital are not walking where they put the sidewalks. And I think this happens a lot in early learning. We think we know where things need to go and what the right path is until the people who are actually involved get involved, and we find out that our assumptions aren't really accurate.
Well, and this is actually a nice springboard, and I don't know if any of us sitting here have the knowledge really to address it as a topic, but Anita Olds like dedicated her life to the designing of childcare centers, and what she has since passed, but like the book she has like the Bible of early childhood center design. It's a big honking doorstopper of a book. And she talks about that is how often people have moved into this brand, you know, $1 million spanking brand new center, state of the art, everything, but nobody who actually worked in the building were consulted or had been consulted or had any input. And so the really cool, you know, unique windows from the toddler room to the hallway were 3 inches too high and the toddlers couldn't see out of them, but then were getting yelled at because they were dragging blocks over to make themselves taller so they could see them. And, you know, now you think you've got a behavior, they're not listening problem, you've got all of this other shit, had nothing, you didn't ask us.
Yes.
You know, the bathrooms are so far away and the staff are holding their pee even longer than they need to. You know, doors that open in, you know, so the kids can fling them open instead of having to pull. I mean, just little things that and it's not a finger pointing or a judgment really to the designers. I mean, I'm not in a position to say that. But if you're building something that some people are going to be spending 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 hours a day in, in my world, I like to think that they would have a say in what that looked like.
Yeah, yeah. And so doing that post-play autopsy kind of can give you some insight for those people.
Well, yeah, and not even for, like, big and building, but even just for tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. What went on here today? Well, let's look at this as we start the cleanup process, and how can that affect what's gonna go on here tomorrow? Because I mean, they might come in with completely different interests, but for a lot of kids, those kind of things are kind of cyclical, and what was interest today is gonna at least be a little bit in their mind the next day for a lot of kids, and you can learn a lot from that.
And I think you can help deepen it.
Yeah.
When as Tasha passed me the note about, as something we said the other day, but leaving things available up, you know, not cleaning up just because the teacher's going home, right?
Or it's 30 minutes to closing time.
Yeah, so
everything,
start putting everything away.
Yeah, but, you know, sit here and wait.
Let it stay so that there's a more authentic flow than to pick up where we left off the next morning instead of being in such a hurry to always have everything back on the shelf. Because then I think that sends an entirely different message. There's more emphasis on keeping it neat and tidy as opposed to being a space where kids actually get to, you know, explore.
Are using it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else on this one?
I don't think so. I kind of like where it bounced around.
Yeah, that was nice.
Hey, so people out there working with kids, if you learn anything from the mess you see at the end of the day and want to share it with us, get a hold of us either on the Ooey Gooey or Explorations Early
Learning
Facebook page. Take a picture and share it with us. Yeah, we'd like to learn about that and see if there's any value to this kind of look at the post-play residue and see if there's anything to learn. This has been... what is this? This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill. Back soon with another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adios.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.